the blessings
of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself.
With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts.
The precept of restraint and religious observances.
The precept of obedience to all good laws.
The precept to benefit all sentient beings.
In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself.
With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts.
Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so.
Not to take that which is not given.
Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct.
Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority.
Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics,
nor assist others to do so.
Not to publish other people's faults.
Not to extol oneself and slander others.
Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings.
Not to be angry.
Not to speak ill of this religion or any other.
In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself.
In the practice of loving kindness,
and in the practice of pure attention,
in the practice of ever-expanding faith,
in the practice of constant devotion,
and in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana.
In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself.
Oh, happy blessed day.
Oh, happy blessed place.
Oh, happy blessed time.
Oh, happy blessed path.
Oh, happy blessed opportunity.
And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself.
Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires.
I am born of karma. I am heir to karma.
I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma.
Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma.
The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings.
Dutyampi tatyampi savaha.
Again and yet again may it be so.
Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening.
For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day,
there must be the willingness to do it.
Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire.
There is no self and other,
as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available to monthly donors. After we looked at this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at, it's a lot that I've been looking at regarding this topic, but it just occurred to me in meditation, there's a saying that I've heard since the beginning of practice that was, if it leads towards suffering or not towards suffering.
Uh-huh. That's kind of a check-in.
Yeah, check-in. Is it leading towards or away?
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like my whole life is just calibrating to that.
Uh-huh.
You know, like every decision,
mm-hmm.
each time I'm aware mm-hmm. of something new
mm-hmm.
that I'm just sort of looking at, is this leading away from suffering or
yep.
towards suffering?
And that's a nice, calibration is such a nice way to express it, isn't it? Because it doesn't require us to go to the head.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, hot, cold, hot, right? Kind of that.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't know.
And sometimes you don't know.
You just, okay, I'm not sure if this is going to lead away.
Yeah.
Just away.
Like you just keep moving that dial and the needle's kind of all over, but you know you'll get it.
Yeah.
So just keep trying it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And so recently I looked at what would lead to a life where I could practice more.
Mm.
You know, so,
mm-hmm.
You know, if I wanted to come here for a month
mm-hmm.
or something, what would that take,
mm-hmm.
you know, or longer?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I see how that could just be a focus and everything would just fall into place, because that's what happens, like, when I used to not know whether or not to follow a retreat,
uh-huh.
to leave the kids, or
right.
take off work, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever, and I would just do it and everything would fall into place.
You would just say, okay, well, I'm going to decide I'm going on a retreat and figure
yeah.
all the pieces will work themselves out, and they do.
They do.
Oh.
They do, right.
Yeah.
So I sort of made that decision.
That's
to
agree. Yeah.
I'm going to make practice my main focus
wow.
so that I can do that more often, and everything's going to fall into place.
Wow.
Right?
That was exciting.
Yeah, and so everything has started to fall into place. So it feels like this right now.
It feels like this. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But kind of exciting at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not there, but you know, it's starting. I can just, like, all these insights and ideas and everything is dropping in there to make that happen.
Uh-huh.
And so yesterday I'm out in the public, and it's kind of like this is on a moment by moment basis,
mm-hmm.
the same idea. And I was around. It was like, it was kind of like the Buddha sitting at the Bodhi tree.
Uh-huh.
Like there were food vendors completely surrounding.
Oh, what's this, Renee? I want that.
Like there was like corn dogs, fried candy bars.
Oh,
right?
You know, it's evil.
I wouldn't even eat that.
It's evil. It should be illegal. I mean, it's just. You know, because there's so we could have a whole group discussion on that. We'll save that for later.
So I'm in the middle. I mean, literally in the middle, and they're complete. There's like the picnic areas in the middle, and we're sitting there, and we're like four of us trying to decide what to eat. And there's some healthy choices. There's vegetarian and
there's like these wraps that are really healthy, mm-hmm. and then there's all this other stuff, you know, pumpkin bread and pie, and it was a mandarin orange thing, so it was like everything was mandarin orange, and mm-hmm. so it was just, so, you know, it was like sitting there going, okay, what yeah. is going to be healthy and what isn't,
yeah.
and, you know, I wasn't even tempted.
Wow.
I just went directly for the vegetarian wrap.
Wow.
But it just, I was just sitting there going, oh my gosh, this is incredible.
Yeah.
Like, and then I went to another private place and I was doing the same thing. Like, uh-huh. it was around a lot of leather uh-huh. shoes, ridiculous. Uh-huh. And it was like, well, I was asking the sales, do you have any shoes here that are not leather?
Right.
You know? And it just was coming out. Like, I wasn't even thinking about it. You know?
Yeah.
And so it's just, I'm just looking at that from a small perspective and a bigger yeah. perspective, you know, just in yeah. terms of making those decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds like, at least from what you're describing, if I'm following, that, you know, you didn't just start yesterday.
Right. right.
So it's been going on. And that as we do that and that calibration begins to happen, mm-hmm. it becomes what we want. Yeah. That at first, yeah. it's really, really difficult. Yeah. And it can seem like it's difficult because I want those things. I want the fried candy bars. I want the leather shoes. Mm-hmm. But what we find out over time is that actually I don't. It's just that it's a mental, emotional habit
yeah.
that so pushes the, you know, karmically pushes me in those directions. But as so at first, it's really can feel like a lot of effort to bring it back, mm-hmm. right? But as we practice that more and more and more and we're calibrating, we just want the healthy choice. We want the thing that's harmful.
Right. Right. Yeah. And yeah. I don't even know if "want" is the right word.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I don't know.
It's just
word.
What it is.
It's
just
what
it's chosen.
Yeah. It's just what they're doing. Okay. I don't want to do that. You know. Mm-hmm. And it also feels like it would be a sacrifice when you know, like,
uh-huh.
if yeah. I can't have the. I don't think I'd ever want a fried candy bar, but you know, like,
that's not a good example.
The donut, or you know, something
yeah.
a little less.
Yeah.
That would probably just make me run to the bathroom really fast. Yeah. Use some sugar at one time. And
yeah.
grease and everything, but
yeah.
so just feeling like you're sacrificing something. You know, like if I can't have that beautiful leather shoe,
right?
You know, because everyone's going to think it's so amazing, or
right.
it's going to feel so good to wear it, or you know, but it doesn't.
Right.
You know, yeah. it's just a conditioned thing that makes you think it is. And
yeah.
then,
which
and
comes from a lot of practice to have that experience,
yeah.
that kind of bank of experience that you're pointing at.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that place of we have to find that out. We have
yeah.
to find out that actually it isn't going to bring what the voices are promising.
Right. Right.
And.
That's right. Yeah.
I already have what the
everything
voices are promising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But noticing the part where you kind of, where I go in and out of, because
mm-hmm.
A lot of times I would have gone out into that environment and just been unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just, I wouldn't have been aware
right.
of even, I don't know, the unconsciousness of it all, you know,
right.
just the,
yeah.
the, you know, and I was watching other folks, so I selected to buy some organic mandarin oranges.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go around and taste them all. There was only one organic vendor,
mm-hmm.
and I ate them, and they tasted great, and I bought them because
mm-hmm.
they were organic.
Mm-hmm.
Our friends went and tasted everything
mm-hmm.
and chose something
mm-hmm.
that wasn't.
Right.
And I wasn't judging them. It was just
right.
noticing.
Yep.
I'm committed to
yep.
whether organic's right or wrong. I'm committed to it.
Yep.
You know, and
yep.
And that's how I want to spend my money.
Right.
You know, kind of like that. Like,
yeah.
But in the past, I would have been, and still am
mm-hmm.
sometimes, but I feel it growing, like consciousness
yep.
growing in the conditioned world, you
yep.
know?
Yep.
Here I can be like conscious most of the time,
mm-hmm.
and well, I haven't lived here, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
when I'm here for a short time.
Yeah.
And but then go out there and I just kind of go with it.
Right.
But now I'm starting to see how I'm paying more attention
yeah.
to not going with it.
You're bringing the environment with you internally
mm-hmm.
everywhere
mm-hmm.
you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's heavenly.
It is.
That is just heavenly.
It is.
Yeah.
Boy, it's just, it's such freedom, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
You know, we practice in this environment because it is so challenging,
mm-hmm.
right? There are so many pulls that are so
yeah.
karmically familiar to all of us. So we practice in this environment where, it's a compassionate way to strip away some of that so that we can start to build those muscles. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, ideally, we're bringing that with us everywhere we go, so that we don't become sort of hothouse plants where, no, I can only make the choices I want to make or practice the way that really supports me to practice if I'm in a very particular environment with particular people and particular things happening. And
Yeah, so just a hugely enjoyable day, even with all the conditioned things going on, you know. And just recently, guidance, it reminds me, I was asked, well, what do you want to do for work? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you want to do? I was like, well, I don't like that, and I don't like that, but I can't go do that because it doesn't pay enough. And the difference between the two is one is in a conditioned world and one isn't. Mm-hmm. And one job is in a conditioned environment. Uh-huh. Everyone's just not in practice. Uh-huh. And one is everyone's in practice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it just came out and I just said, well, that one's around a lot of conditioned people and that one isn't. Uh-huh. And I'd rather be the one where there's not a lot of conditioned people around. Uh-huh. And the person I was talking to just goes, perfect reason. Mm-hmm. You know, just that's fine. Mm-hmm. That, if that's what you want. You know, that's a good, like...
Yep. It's a perfectly good reason to make a choice.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just kind of pointing to the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because you know what I love about that, at least when I look to my own experience, if we wait around for making the choice I want to make until all the circumstances are right, mm-hmm. well, I just need to finish up this part of my life, or I just need to do that, or I just need, as soon as I get this lined up, that is absolutely never going to happen.
Right.
Because that's a process.
Yeah.
As soon as is a process. But if we get to, what I want is this, mm-hmm. make that choice, and figure everything's going to line up behind it, it does.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it's just really grateful, and it's just, the muscles getting stronger.
Yeah, exactly. And just that process of strengthening that muscle is such a joy. You know, we're not headed anywhere, we're not trying to get to a certain place, but just the process of that.
Right,
it's so joyful.
Yeah, so I could look at this Thanksgiving as a way to strengthen the muscle.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Wow, that's going to be a worthy opponent.
Exactly.
Yeah, great.
Thank you.
So, go ahead.
Well, I know this relates in some way to that last, but so my experience with practice is that there's just some things that no matter what someone may point it out to you, no matter how many times you may hear it mentioned, there seems to just be, until this person can see it, there just isn't a way to see it.
Yeah.
And it seems like it seems that we're required to see and practice the things that we cannot see.
Yeah, it's the Native Americans on the shore.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Seeing Columbus's ships.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Just can't see.
Yeah,
there are ships out there.
Yeah.
There are ships out there. Wait, there are ships out there.
What are ships? it's just, it's one of those cons. It's just like, how in the heck?
Yeah.
And you and so my experience is this person tried so hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's, and you know, of course, a lot of that trying has to do with getting it right and, you know, being the right person, and, you know, and it just keeps, you know, taking her away from the place that she, you know, is trying so hard to get to.
Yeah.
And so I just had something drop in yesterday that, you know, it seems so simple to say it, but it's like, it was just like one of those earth-shattering moments. So, so there's always been this behavior that I've been, I hear a lot from self-hate about, you know, and it has to do around guidance. Like, you know, you don't really appreciate guidance. You don't really work with it hard enough. You don't, you know, you should just leave.
Thanks for the guidance.
You should just go. You know, you should tell them. You just,
oh, okay.
I did it.
What is it?
I'm just wasting your time. You know, I just need, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's an identification here that just when that story comes up, she just really believes it, you know, that she's just really the wrong person, you know, that everybody else has got this nailed, and, you know. And and yesterday, the Red Sea parted, and she saw that she, let's see, it's kind of like, it's kind of like the tail wagging the dog versus the dog wagging the tail thing. That she could be a master at guidance. It's not, she's not a victim to this story.
Yes, exactly.
That she is, can't accept guidance or follow guidance or work with guidance.
Yes.
Not at all.
Yes.
All she has to do is step into that place.
Yes.
Out of that identification.
Yes.
And be the person who works with guidance.
Yes.
And it was like,
wow.
Wow.
Yes. Ah!
It was just, I mean, it seems...
That is so huge, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
I can't tell you. It, you know, I know nothing shook around here, but it was... it was, oh my God.
Wow.
And then one just, you know, so then just turning to the mentor, having a conversation and just saying, you know, wow. You know, and having the support of the mentor to say, oh, you know what, yeah, I'm here with you, and this is how we can, you know, do this together.
Yeah.
And it was just the end of the story.
Yeah. Wow, that is amazing.
You know, it was just the end of the story.
Wow.
And it was, and just now, I mean, it's just, and suddenly everything became clear, you know, it's like, God, I was going to have me go to my end of my days with the person who couldn't get guidance.
Yeah.
And that would be what I'd end up on my deathbed with. Like, you know, God, you just really blew it. Because you just couldn't.
Guidance.
You had all that opportunity.
Right.
And, you know, all this. You had all that great guidance. And now you're in this mess.
Yeah.
You know? And so, so anyway, so I just want to say that.
So it's like going from being the pursued to pursuing.
Exactly.
It's a complete energy shift, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I would project from like complete energy drained, like, oh, again, and I can't, right?
Yeah, and it's kind of this, it's totally colluding with self-hate because it's this little contracted place.
Yeah.
And I can't.
I've tried so many times.
Yeah, right.
Gosh, I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah.
And to a place that, from what you're describing, there's so much energy and excitement. Like, wow, we could find out.
Yeah.
We could practice with this.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
This is not beyond you.
Right. Exactly.
It's just the shift.
Yeah.
It's just the shift of the attention.
Yeah.
To something that could just, it just felt like it could not be seen.
Yeah.
It just could not be seen.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
No matter how many times I've heard.
Yeah.
You know.
And you know what's so good about it, for, at least from what you describe, is that it seems like that, you know, if we go back to that image of the looking at the shore, so at least from the way it's described, you know, most folks just couldn't see it, right? But that the shamans saw the ripples in the water and knew there was something there.
Yeah.
And so there was just a being willing to just look at the horizon and look at the horizon and look at the horizon with that sense of, I don't know, but something's there.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what you're describing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
From that kind of like, on the beach, like, forget it, stupid, what's the, I don't care, I can't, why can't you do this? Why, you know?
Yeah.
To that.
Yeah.
You know, just that one-pointed focus.
Yeah. God, and it has to do with, I mean, a lot, the email class brought up a lot, too, you know, about that whole transformation of the butterfly, and you don't, we don't acknowledge what went on in the transformation process. And the patience, the patience that it requires, we can't see. What is necessary in the process of transformation and how long, however long it may seem like forever, this person has to stay in that stupid stuck place, you know. And then, but, you know, to move in that place of acceptance.
Exactly.
You know, and kindness for whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But as long as we're kind of looking at the ripples.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay.
Exactly.
I look at the ripples for.
Yeah. Because if the process is the outcome.
Yeah.
Then looking at the ripples, what I have is that energy and that excitement and that interest and that curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And whether I ever see anything or not.
Yeah.
Is actually immaterial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which comes back to that thing about, God, if this isn't being fun.
Right.
What is the point?
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. Because it's just, I mean, it's really, it's, you know, it's the best.
Yeah.
To be, to be on that path of liberation and to just exploring everything on the path, and that's not a good time.
Yeah. You know, and as you say that, it just strikes me that from that process that you're describing of, like, you know, being in that, what feels like a stuck place, and then coming through it, that patience of staying through it and then coming to that breakthrough phase, makes us so helpful to everyone who's coming along the path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know the guy that said that, you know, and sometimes when you're in it, it doesn't feel like it. It's hard to see how helpful it is.
Yeah.
You know, that,
and then that's what makes us helpful, is that there's going to be someone who's sitting on the cushion out there saying, ooh, I'm completely stuck and I can't see and I feel like I'm terrible at guidance. And without that experience, you would kind of be thinking, yeah, that's...
No brainer for me. I don't know what's wrong with you.
Maybe you can go look for another practice. But from the perspective you're talking about, you know in your gut, in the fiber of your being, stick with it.
Yeah.
Stick with it.
Wow.
Because even that flailing around and trying to get it right, you know, it's the, you know, we have to give it everything we've got, knowing that the very effort of it is keeping us from it. But we have to do it anyway.
Yeah. Why? Wow. It's just so much. So much. Anyway, big times, good times.
Good times.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I can't see the ships or the ripples right now.
Okay.
And I'm just so I'm stuck in a story, and just have a tremendous amount of anxiety. My second or third chakra is just has been locked up, and I'm not. I wake up at 3 a.m. every morning, and I can't go back to sleep. And
because you're being told a story about something.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's about a piece of content, and I feel like in the content I feel like I have a role in, and somebody else does as well.
Okay.
And not being able to kind of forgive either person.
Got it.
Really, and it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
something happened, and.
Right, and it's a kind of a continue. It's a continue. It's something that is happening consistently, and and just being with that. I mean, just varying range of emotions. Like I'm mad. I'm angry.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed. It's like all the, and it's on a scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 3. But it's like my conditioning, and every day I'm with this person. It's like just picking things up. To kind of add to the story, and I'll see something happens, and I'm like, and I see it happen, and it's like I just know that that's going to come back,
you know,
to the end of the loop, absolutely, and it's, and I'm on vacation right now, and it's all consuming, and I'm locked up. I'm not even around this. It's at work. I'm not even around this person, and it's just building. And building and getting, you know, more and more intense, and the story's growing.
Yeah.
And and there will be times when I'll be sitting and recording and listening to where it's like, you know, I kind of see through it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I'm here, I'm right now. It's like it's okay right here. And then most of the time when I am with that person, it's okay as well. And then it's just
most of the time when you're with that external
person as well, like when I'm present to that person. And I just feel like that insight just gets swallowed up just by like we have to get this is bad, this is wrong.
Yes.
We have to alter content in order to and then make big changes and affecting lots of other people.
Uh-huh.
and basically, you know, kind of the fight or flight.
Yeah.
And it's just,
yeah, that's exactly what that anxiety is, isn't it?
Right.
The cortisol, the adrenaline of the fight or flight.
Yeah. And then whether kind of do I want to fight or, you know, leave is kind of goes, it's part of the loop as well, you know, what I want to.
Gosh, it's such a clear description of what karma can do to us, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So let me ask you, Chad, what would you say got you here today?
I feel like just how it's affecting other people, you know, within my life too. Just because I am, you know, I'll just be thinking, you know, about this situation, just kind of lost in thought, and then, you know, and my family kind of recognizes it. I recognize it too, and it's like, well, I want to be present to them. You know, I'm not able to consistently, you know.
So realizing what an impact this is having on the people in your life feels like might be a piece of what brought you here.
Right.
Would you say love?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then,
so it feels like maybe love is what brought you here today.
Right.
And that feels like the challenge that's in front of us, isn't it? Is that shift of attention from where the voices want us to be to where we actually want to live.
Right.
You know, because what you describe, I mean, I'm sure everyone can plug in content for themselves and times in their life when they've been through that, as have you.
Mm-hmm.
You've been through it, you've come out. You've been through it, you've come out. You've been through it, you've come out. You know, it cycles around like that. And so in the middle of what sounds like right now, it's fairly intense,
mm-hmm.
to be in the middle of it, to be able to still have the perspective that, okay, this feels really real, but I have enough practice to know that this is something that's being done to me. And that somewhere in there, there is that ship on the horizon.
Right.
And to be able to see, to know that there is a ship, and to know that you can't see it right now, but to have the wisdom to put yourself in a position to be able to watch for it, is so huge.
Right. Yeah, that resonated with me. That's why just keep practicing, you know, even though it's just...
Exactly.
Just a practice.
Yes.
And then, you know, something will arise at some point.
Yes. So. Yep, so it's that practicing the shift of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of like Renee said earlier, you know, okay, Thanksgiving is coming, you know. It's that worthy opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a worthy opponent in your face.
Right.
Right? In your face. Mm-hmm. And we tend to, you know, who could blame us in those situations, to want it to go away. Right.
And then like stuff will come up, and I'm like, oh, I feel better now.
Yeah.
And so it's almost, you know, kind of
exactly.
The part of, I feel great, and then it'll just slam me, you know, again.
So. And often, you know, you could look to see in your own experience, but often that, oh, I feel better now, is just that temporary side of the other side of the duality to keep us in the game.
Right.
You know, thank God, which is just enough energy to then slam us back to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I feel like it's so intense to where it's like I just I'm the stuff I go, you know, continue doing this, and then I'll just kind of it'll stop, and then, oh, I feel great now, and then that's when it comes back.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I think it's just I don't forgive my. It's not okay. The situation isn't okay. What does it say about me having this situation happen in my life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm wrong. I'm bad. I'm not good enough. This is why. Just more evidence, you know, to that.
Mm-hmm.
Along with the content of the story is kind of,
mm-hmm.
you know, the swirling aspect of it.
If only intellectually, can you see that that's all self-hate's perspective?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
That self-hate is the one who refuses to forgive Chad, who feels like this means something about Chad, who feels like this means something about the other person, who says that this is not okay to have this happening, who, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because, of course, if this were happening to someone that you loved, someone that you cared about, you know, a spouse or a child or a close friend or a sibling or a, all the same set of circumstances, I'm guessing you would not have those same judgments about that person.
Absolutely. And I've done this recording. It's like, you know, put it as a friend or, you know, a family member, and it's completely, you know, the shift is dramatic. where it's just like, well, it's obvious it's not, you know, personal or about you.
So, you know, to me, Chad, in those situations, it goes back to what Sequoia was pointing at with the patience. Mm-hmm. You know, because it sounds like you're doing everything you need to do. Mm-hmm. You're recording and listening and hopefully having some recordings that you can turn on at 3 a.m. when that starts in. Mm-hmm. You know, shifting the attention, connecting back into that love that brought you here today, that's bringing you to practice, that's not allowing you to give up in the face of this worthy opponent. And to realize that, you know, that might not change it overnight. You know, and just that, to me, it's so reassuring in those situations to just have that mentor and presence to say, it's all right. It's okay. You know, it'll shift sometime. I don't know when, but it's okay. You know, we're adequate to this. You know, again, it's the great gift of looking at the sensations, because it's all beginning with sensations. You know, it's so quick that it's really, really hard to catch on to it. But if we trace it back, it really is, I mean, 3 a.m., there's the sensation. And as we build that ability to just be with the sensations and realize, okay, this is actually just a sensation in the body.
And then we'll come up to me and it's like, well, you didn't feel this before this, you know, this work thing took place. So it's about work. And but you're right, when I'm just with it, it's just this huge sensation. And yet it's just this, you know, this story that's, well, this is why. This is why it's happening.
And that's the piece that gets us.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe the sensation is getting stirred up because there's all this stuff happening at work. But it doesn't mean what the voices say it means. It just doesn't. And so what happens is the sensation starts because the story is so quick and all the meaning gets piled onto it. We so associate that feeling with, not okay, I've got to get out of this, that we feel like the sensation is the thing. I can't stand this. It's awful. But when we build that muscle of just fully experiencing the sensation, you know, so to the best of our ability, just there it is, it's in the body, really feeling it. That's why Sherry will walk us through things like, where exactly is it? How big is it? Does it have a color? Is there a texture? What all of that is doing is drawing all of our attention to the actual experience. And when we do that, and we're just there with it, and we're just breathing, we realize this is just a human sensational experience.
And I've had the experience too, when I'm at work, present to the situation, it's okay a lot of the time.
Exactly.
And then when I'm away from it, it's when it's just 24 hours a day, it's not okay, and it's worse and worse and worse.
Exactly. That's such a huge clue. You said that a few minutes ago, that you realize when you're present with this person, there isn't that same experience. And so what you're describing is a practice of expanding the ability to be present with it. You know, and there are tons of areas of your life where you're able to be present, you know, and it's hard to see it, right, because we get so used to it. But if you could transport yourself to 8 years ago, you would realize the ability to be present is multi-fold. We just so often don't see that because it's just become normal to us now. Here's an area that, I mean, again, 8 or so years ago, you would have never, there would have been zero presence. There would have been no, you wouldn't have come to the monastery this morning. You know, there wouldn't have been the choices that you're making right now.
Absolutely,
right? Mm-hmm. So this is like the Olympic level. And it is.
Right.
You know, it is. So along with those recordings of patience and I'm here with you and however long it takes, are the, you know, gold medal celebrations and the congratulations and the you're a hero. This is amazing. You know, I know it feels really hard, and the fact that this is happening at all is a complete miracle.
That's so true.
Thank you. Rebecca.
Wow. There's a lot in this morning. Big times. I think it must be sort of a planetary thing. I don't know what's going on with the planet.
Or a holiday or something.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's it. Really good little planetary thing. Wow. So, gosh. I'm having one of those, what Joseph Campbell, quote, that quote said is the chance of a lifetime of becoming who we are.
That's this morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that quote. And it really is the chance of a lifetime.
Yes. Or lifetimes.
Lifetimes, mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the last week or so, it's been a sort of dark night of the soul, pinned, like the pressure of, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. okay, and then kind of popping out.
Mm-hmm.
And I really resonated with that, what was said about the patience,
mm-hmm.
And just the deep appreciation that you were just talking about around, you know, what it has taken for sure,
mm-hmm.
but what this human has been kind of steadily mm-hmm. plodding along,
mm-hmm.
bringing into her life,
mm-hmm.
you know, day in and day out, year in and year out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
to keep choosing it.
When mm-hmm. the fried candy bars and everything, the equivalent is all around,
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah, easily accessible.
It's what everybody else used to want.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. but choosing something else
mm-hmm.
is what she wants.
Yeah. And she gets to choose it.
That's the miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's the miracle.
And it almost shifts from it becomes sort of a, how did I get so lucky to be able to choose that?
Yeah.
Like a privilege to have something we receive almost, yeah. more than something we do.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I described the sort of that fall on the ground in gratitude mm-hmm. moments when it's like, because it, you know, again, everyone around that, right. you know, or most people and don't seem to be, well, whatever.
Right, exactly. We don't know.
Whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's all life waking up.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, a memory is coming, keeps dropping in as we're talking. Of like after my first retreat,
mm-hmm.
I hear with this. I mean, I've been in religious life since I was like, I've been a very religious person since about age six, you know, in all these different ways, and you know, and took a lot of hits for it all mm-hmm. through my life, you know, in a way that you can imagine, you know, but I remember sitting down with my family, like little kids and husband, and saying after my first retreat, okay, I just want you to know, see, everything that I'm doing, because I was involved in all kinds of things, this is this much more important to me than all of that put together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I kind of set it up where, so here's what it means. I'm going to meditate every day, so that's going to be times when mommy's not available, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do one, two retreats, whatever. You know, I kind of laid out the plan,
mm-hmm.
and I asked for their support
mm-hmm.
in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of looked back at that woman who did that
mm-hmm.
and marveled.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, just marvel at that.
Yeah.
Who was that?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That got to choose,
right?
That and then, you know, and did it.
Yeah.
And so then, fast forward to this week, where it was sort of a crossroads in a way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a way; it was a crossroads. Yeah. And everything that, you know, anytime I would say or think I'm living a religious life, kind of ego would scrunch up its nose like, ew, I'm living a religious life.
Uh-huh. And then it sounds like when you describe, you're like, hey, I would have.
Exactly. That's why the Joseph Campbell quote, like, becoming who you are. It's like, I look back at when I was a little bitty kid. It's like, oh my God, I've always lived a religious life.
It's funny because in a way it goes from, like, amazing that I made this choice to, well, I had no choice.
Exactly.
All there. Exactly. I was never going to choose anything but this.
But you know what? In those dark nights of the soul, you really can choose something else.
Yeah. Or it feels like it. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you can. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that I could, I mean, I look at it, I could have just as easily said no. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and did for a few hours. Mm-hmm. And got to really feel what that no feels like.
Yeah. Wasn't powerful enough.
Huh?
The no wasn't powerful enough.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And then the mentor just sort of started talking. Now, you know, like, absolute will in that.
Uh-huh.
It was all just willingness that felt. And just the mentor started talking. And everybody got on that side. Everybody lined up with her, with the mentor.
We're on her side.
Exactly. No contest.
No contest.
You know? But until the mentor picked up the recorder and started talking, this was sort of carrying the day.
Almost like there was just waiting for the other opportunity, the other possibility to present itself. Yeah.
And maybe that's what you mean by we don't really have a choice. I mean,
well, just from what you're describing, it's like the momentum of, you know, how do you talk about it? The lifetime, the life, the whatever, to choose to make a certain choice is so strong that even when there are those dark nights of the soul and the nose and the, they're just not powerful enough to stand up in that larger context.
Yeah. And here's the part that I think it was Sequoia that was mentioning about that, that we just, the human just has to see it. The mentor was right there.
Right.
I mean, with this language gets tricky because obviously this person is the mentor. But, so the mentor was right there and all that. But it was in the aligning with the mentor that the human got to see who she is.
She got to have an experience of choosing it, sort of.
Yes.
Or being it, the Joseph Campbell thing.
Yes.
Get to be who she is.
Yeah.
And
so it's like,
so she was that all the way along, but she doesn't really get to realize she's that until there's that aligning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, in subsequent recordings, it's been, oh, thank you, mentor, and mentor's saying, oh, thank you, human, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's like this sort of love affair of of human and divine that is that is just the richest thing ever.
So it kind of transforms the, kind of back to the, we feel like we're pursued and then we become the pursuer. It transforms our experience of those crossroad times from, oh God, I hate those times, or I don't want to, seeing the power of those times.
And just like there's a line in this last email class that I just keep listening to over and over. It's like, and we don't issue those times.
Exactly.
It's like, okay. I know the identity, but yeah, it totally transforms them.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but basically there's the identification, and then there's the being at center, and can we experience all of it as just the energies of life? Takes me back to the conversation with Chad.
Yep.
You know, we're so conditioned to, you know, those expansive, open, it's easy to make the choices I want to make times, woohoo, I love that, you know. And, you know, is that one experience, and then the times when we're identified and it's really difficult, and that's another experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
And can all of it be held in that larger place, and everything, that's how it goes.
Yeah. Like, I love being the diamond outside of the pressure, but I also love being the coal under pressure. You know, because
it's part of it.
Thank you. Scott.
A powerful group this morning. A lot of different things going on. That what we start out with, kind of moving towards freedom or moving towards suffering, and then what was just being said, it does feel like that's my experience at the momentum. I mean, that was really kind of a clear articulation, but I just project that may be true for everyone in this room, that the momentum towards being free is so big, because there's no other. Otherwise, there's no way you would be free on a Sunday morning.
How could you describe? Yeah, exactly. How could you account for that?
Yeah, exactly. And I love that because in there, for me, it is implied some grace.
Yeah.
You know, of going into those dark places, of saying no, and it just sort of gets wrapped up into gets folded up into the momentum.
Yeah.
And it does seem, I guess, it just seems like I would have to really go against the heart to start making that momentum go the other way.
Yes.
And I watched that recently where I was considering not following guidance, mm-hmm. which I actually realized later was sort of a distortion of guidance, but
a disruption.
A distortion.
A distortion.
So it was like, I can't follow that because, but I actually didn't have the guidance clear.
That's really good to see.
What's that?
That's really good to see.
Yeah. Well, and what I was ultimately committed to was guidance.
Yeah.
So I asked about it.
Yeah.
And I got to see, I was just like, I'm kind of a mess here because I'm looking at not going to following this guidance.
Wow.
And so then we were able to.
That's good.
To look at it, but in that meantime, I just watched what that did. I felt it in the body, mm-hmm. just the saying no. Mm-hmm. And what I realized ultimately was that in the body was my attention on conditioning, saying, this is what your choices are.
Yeah.
Either follow guidance and suffer, or don't follow guidance and suffer.
Yeah, and you know, this may not be the point of where you're going, but I can't help but stop and underline it. That is so huge, because what you're describing is that the process of awareness wasn't lost at any point along the way. And so that's a gigantic piece of practice right there, is that whatever happens, even because it could be, if we go to being the right person, well, I'm just going to always follow guidance, and always da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But what you saw was there was this pull to not follow guidance. And instead of just popping into being the right person and following guidance, you just, in a way, like what the email class is describing, you just allowed what was there to be there, but stayed completely, exquisitely present to it, down to the sensations that it creates in the body, the energy of that. And then in being that just transformed, that just leads us to the, I want the healthy, you know, vegetarian wrap,
mm-hmm.
without having to force ourselves to do that.
Yeah, and it's the choosing the healthy vegetarian wrap was having to communicate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was healthy. It was a healthy choice. and generally, I've been watching this process of, I guess, the moving towards freedom is choosing peace. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why this recently, just aware of the violence in the world and mm-hmm. wanting to choose peace. And I'm about to go out into the world for a little bit. And I've been really wanting to watch the movie Gandhi, because I've actually never watched the whole thing before, and I feel like it gets brought up quite a bit in practice.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it was like, oh. And then it was like, I want to invite some other people to watch that mm-hmm. with me. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, well, let's have a peace party. Mm-hmm. You know? And then it was like, yes, attention on peace, providing that space for others, cultivating peace. This is so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that needed to be the end of the conversation right there. It wasn't.
Right.
So
because the ego has no choice, but the train's going in a certain direction. It's not going to head it off as a path, so it's going to get on the train and push it, right?
And it's great because I know that process.
Yeah.
And I know that's just it'll never happen.
No.
That party will never happen, or it never will happen in that way.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, drop it, and let's just practice peace party right now.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so everything is that the last couple of days. And I noticed, like, last night, just really simple things, like, you know, schedule ended. We don't have anything after snack cleanup on Saturday. And there was all these great things. It's like, oh, I have this time to, you know, work on the email class and, you know, make the bed right so that the heat stays in there. And, like, you know, I want to put my medallion back on the string. And just all these things that he actually wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just this, like, super familiar, I think, probably my whole life, like, no. I don't want to do that. I just want to go to sleep. It was like 7:30. I never go to sleep at 7:30. You know, and it was, but it was just, I don't care.
Yeah.
No, I don't care. No.
You can't make me.
Yeah, crawl in it. I'm actually
in the bed. That's too hard to put my head up. Yeah. Not doing that.
Yeah. So it's like there's this just authentic. I just want to be with these things that I enjoy doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's just the violence of no.
Yeah.
And then for a while, there's a collusion with that.
Yeah.
Sort of getting into bed, like, I'm just not going to even brush. I'm just going to go to sleep right now. I never have brush my teeth
right.
In the year plus I've been here. But,
yeah.
You know, just all this stuff. And then you can just feel it. Like, it's not going to work. And I'm not going to be able to go to sleep.
Exactly. That's the old thing. You walk past the thing on the ground. I'm not picking that up. And it's like, you might as well go back now. Because however long past you get, you know you're going back. So
yeah.
Might as well just go back now.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
your butt out of bed and brush
yeah.
your teeth. And, then
and I just watched all these times, you know, if I was back out in the world, like what I would have done on one of those nights or whatever. I would have called somebody. I would have gotten a movie. I would have just run right over the authenticity. And that, I think that is an act of violence.
Yeah.
Just squashing, ignoring, numbing out to. And so the act of peace, the peace party, was to turn on the recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, what do we have to lose? We know we're not going to go to sleep. And we know that's not going to happen that way.
Right.
So what else is possible?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Shoot, let's find out.
I want you. I want to go to bed. Mentally, well, let's see what it takes to get ready for bed.
Yeah.
And then let's see what happens after that.
Right.
Yeah, that was it.
Yep.
And so...
No big plans,
okay.
No big, okay, first we're going to do this,
yeah.
And then you got to make sure to do that. And then
because the resistance was all those things I actually wanted to do, got
mm-hmm.
into a process of having to do
that. That's right.
So, of course, the person's like, no.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so the, okay, let's go to bed. Let's start by getting ready, and then we'll check in.
Yeah.
Well, there's no place to fight with that. There's no resistance.
Yeah.
So it's like, as soon as I made the bed, there was already a shift.
Right.
And then I brushed the teeth,
yeah.
And then it was like, I saw the medallion, get them down and put it on the string, and then it was like, there's the email class,
yeah.
I want to participate with that, start
yeah.
working on that, all from the bed, you
yeah.
know.
These are not
in
conversations with each other.
And I love that. And I read this response when I was reading from class 3, of something about, it reminds me a lot of just like, you know, first get here, or first love God, and do what you,
yeah.
what you want.
Yeah.
And this person is talking about climate change and da-da-da. Sherry's talking about that process of suffering and that we need to practice being here is my paraphrase of that. And we don't need another person to be out there getting angry and fighting because that's kind of what got us in this mess in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just been something getting really clear for me about first get here, first
mm-hmm.
get here. Anything that's being brought up about something to address, it's just a complete waste of time unless you're doing it from a place of a process of peace or love or being present.
Yeah.
You know, and then everything just starts to,
it really does.
You know, so this trip going home, it's just like, man, that's just what I want to practice. Like,
mm-hmm.
do the practices, be here, and whatever needs to happen will happen.
Yeah.
And that, what you know, if there's going to be a peace party, life will let me know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I'm not in charge.
I'm not in charge.
Yeah.
I'm not in charge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so great. And just pay attention in that way that you've been describing the whole time.
Yeah.
Just pay attention.
Yeah. And in that process, there's the peace party.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's a gift, obviously, in saving this human. And I protect just a gift for everyone else, too, to have a person who's in that process.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Social relief.
Social relief,
yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Thanks, Scott. Lakota. Hmm.
Such an inspiring conversation this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And the parts of the conversation about the kind of persevering through the difficult times and just having patience, gosh, it's so huge. It's such a part of it.
Yeah.
And those times where, you know, maybe I can't really feel the change happening, but to just have faith.
Yeah.
And something about this time of year, I think, and the holidays coming up, it's really brought me back to memories of the time before practice, time in my early 20s around Thanksgiving, where I was just, man, I was in the middle of a really long, deep depression.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dark night of soul. It was that self-hate cycle with no way out.
Uh-huh.
There's this immense something wrong about me.
Uh-huh.
I, I was trying so hard to make it different, to have a different experience, and I couldn't.
Yeah.
And everything I did just seemed to make it worse.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't imagine going on living, but I couldn't imagine the alternative.
Right.
And it was just so much compassion for that guy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't see a way out. But it was fascinating, because what life was just dropping in was seeing ways that I've been carried along by life the whole time, even right in the middle of that. Looking back, I remember this week I was just in the middle of this years long depression, and around Thanksgiving, struggling, and all of this supportive, loving life wisdom was coming at me from these different kind of surprising directions. I remember, and just this week, they've all been kind of dropping in, these beautiful memories of that, like, wow, gosh, thank you. And I feel like it's a big part of why I'm still here, you know? I remember my little brother, he's 20 years younger, he was 5. And I remember him, I mean, he was aware that I was really suffering. And I remember him saying to me one time, but what's so wrong about just feeling however you feel? I remember it stopped me in my tracks, and I was like, thank you, little brother, that's a good point. You know, and it didn't change how I felt.
Yep.
And
it wasn't supposed to.
I was severely depressed for at least another year after that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of the little things that helped carry me through.
It's a seed that got planted.
Seeds.
Mm-hmm.
In the course of a few days, right in the depth of it, where I didn't know if I was going to make it, a handful of things dropped in. There's that. Remember, I was riding with my mom in a car. We were running errands. I was just almost catatonic.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept asking me questions about, like, well, sweetie, what do you want to have as a side dish? And I was like, Mom, I don't care about side dishes. I only care about feeling different. Mm-hmm. That's all I can think about.
Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't see then was that she was helping me redirect the focus and attention so that I could feel better.
Yeah.
She was giving me that gift in that moment.
And he goes like, don't distract me.
I'm
busy being miserable.
Exactly. But she was relentless. She was like, well, I like asparagus, but I'm kind of thinking about the cheese thing. And I was like, God, really? And she drugged me out of the car and into the grocery store to help shop with her. And it took me, I was still and desperately clinging to that suffering. But she was working really darn hard to not let that happen.
Wow.
And I couldn't see it. She wasn't going directly at it.
Yeah.
But she was saving me.
Wow.
Saving me.
Mm-hmm.
And then another time, just a couple of days later, after the holidays, I was on my own. I was walking around town at dark in the night, and I was just like, I thought it looked horrible. Just like head down, just like, you know? Someone actually hollered at me from across the block. They yelled at me. Some stranger, I don't know, this person from Adam. They were like, it's all gonna be okay. You're doing fine. And I was like, what? Huh. You know, and
can you just picture that was a recent TNW grad?
Yeah. Or an angel, or both.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. It's amazing. Like in the depth of despair, just being carried along and supported.
Yeah. And even when at the time, I'm guessing at least from what you described, well, it sounds like it was with your brother, but not an awareness of like, thank you. That changes everything.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
That's not the point. It's planting those seeds.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Brings it back to that earlier conversation we had of, sometimes, and even now, it's like, whew, man, thank God for practice. Yeah. Everything is different.
Yeah.
Everything's different. It's not like that stuff, that pattern doesn't come up.
Sure.
But it's a faint whisper of what it used to be.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I'm very much in the driver's seat. Self-hate is trying to catch up.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that just because that's the case, it doesn't mean that there's not dry spells. It doesn't mean like that there's periods where I still feel stuck or I still feel the emotions and it's difficult.
Yeah.
But like all that wisdom, those seeds, they're planted.
That's right.
And I just persevere and I have patience and continue.
Yes.
And
yeah. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of a little bit of the practice conversation that's kind of around right now, where when we're in those contracted times, not attempting to go directly at it and pull the attention away from it.
Yeah.
But instead, you know, if we continue with that metaphor, just keep watering those seeds, knowing that they're in there. And the form of that is, like Chad was describing, we turn on the recorder.
Yeah.
And we listen.
Yeah.
And when we're in a place to do it, we make recordings.
Yeah.
And we walk around and we say, thank you for this beautiful day. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the trees. Well, but I don't feel it. It completely doesn't matter.
So what?
That's not the point. Because first of all, we actually don't even know if that's true, that I don't feel it.
Right. How would I know if I'm in that conversation? All the attention is there.
Yeah.
I could be feeling anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But just all that willingness to just do the things we know the human needs.
Everything.
Just keep doing them. Just keep doing them. Just keep doing them.
That is everything. And now it's amazing, like looking back at that period of time, I love that image of the diamond and the of being under pressure.
Yeah.
Those periods of time, that hot, dark, under pressure, just no way out.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's crazy to say, but like looking back, I'm so grateful that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes me profoundly helpful to others who have had that experience.
Absolutely.
And it's literally got me here.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. And, you know, as you say that with what I just hear, you know, we were talking about Sequoia, and then another piece of it feels like you're adding, is that the patience we then bring to others who are having similar situations, and to realize that maybe we're just planting seeds.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, my offering of my experience isn't necessarily, oh, I see, thank you, I get it.
Thanks so much for that. That's so helpful. it can so be, it's funny how quickly that awareness of that can just contract to where now I'm fine, everything's great, and like, why don't you get it?
It only took me 15 years.
Right. Wow. Patience. Just patience.
You know, I think we talked about this in here before, but I just loved it. I learned somewhat recently about that, the giant bamboo plant that helped me out of some of those. But I think it's something along the lines of, so you plant it, like a seed in the ground, and then you water it for 5 years.
Wow.
And nothing happens.
Wow.
It's just the ground, the ground, the ground, the ground, the ground. And how easy would it be? Well, my plant died. You know, I don't have a green thumb. I think it does, forget it, I'm going to stop watering it. But you keep watering it, and then it grows to, like, it's crazy, like 90 feet in 30 days or something crazy. Or 3 months, it grows to its full feet of 90 days. Just boom, after 5 years.
Gosh, it just chills goosebumps. I get so inspired by that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You just keep showing up and doing the thing.
And doing the thing with love and patience.
Love and patience.
Because then we can enjoy that bamboo for the entire 5 years and the 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not just the 3 months.
Yeah, the whole time.
Right.
It's that watching the ripples on
talking
the horizon.
To it. I know you're under there. I know you're under there. Because you know it is.
I know you're in there.
I mean, 90 feet. Those roots. We can't see it, but those roots are gigantic by the time it starts.
Incredible. The support that it has available then.
So it is growing. It's just I can't see it.
Yeah, I love that place of just looking,
mm-hmm.
so excited. Can't see anything right now, but I'm just looking, looking for the ripples. There was a recent email class response from a guy talking about looking for bliss.
Yeah.
That's kind of like, I know it's on the other side of this stuff, but I can't quite, and the guy was like, it's like there's a diamond in the house.
Uh-huh.
You're just going to, you know it's in there.
Yeah.
You're just going to keep looking.
Yeah.
You're not going to stop till you find it.
Yeah. And you know what I just saw as you said it? Is what song it is, hey, you guys want to look with me?
Yeah.
And we're all standing on the beach together looking at that. Come here, look. You know, and we're all just looking for it together.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, thank you.
And you know what? One more thing that I just saw in that is that because it's not a zero-sum game, each person that sees it ups my chances of seeing it.
Right.
So instead of, oh, she saw it and I didn't see it, he saw it and I didn't see it, right? We're building that together.
Well, that's absolutely
the more of us that see it, the more of us that can see it.
That's absolutely it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Ego would have it be some competition.
Right.
Who gets
it
first? There's one diamond.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
No, it's a house full of diamonds.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We found the boys. Okay, let's go find Rebecca's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not going to give up until everybody gets it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you all.